Good morning and happy Labor Day, the 2nd of September 2024. I'm Andy Eubank with the Monday Podcast, along with Eric Pfeiffer and CJ Miller on the news today, including an Indiana company offering a DNA test for harvested corn and soybeans, and a new Hat Policy Podcast preview on the property tax issue. The Hat Podcast brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust, experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch. Hat Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin is calling for a very nice looking Labor Day across Indiana. And Friday grains and oil seeds gains again. Market analysis with Brian Basting on the Hoosier Ag Today Monday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Attention Indiana farmers, have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
How a new company based in Indiana could save the ag industry billions of dollars. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. A new company based right here in Indiana is working to make things much easier for grain elevators, export terminals, and food processors.
So we like to say that we want to make genetic detection no big deal for harvested grain distributors and seed suppliers across the U.S. and globally.
And that's Ryan Scar, co-founder and COO of NanoBio Designs. He and his team have developed a new DNA test for grain buyers to use on harvested corn and soybeans to check for different traits.
How do we track those traits across the supply chain? So whether that's GMO, non-GMO, it could be grain or soybeans or corn grown for ethanol purposes or pharmaceutical purposes. Some of the technology used to track those traits across the supply chain are a little bit inefficient. You have to take samples, send them off to a lab, wait 3 or 4 days. Well, meanwhile, you just had 50 trucks roll into an elevator. And if you're a farmer, you're waiting for your grain to get approved. Or if you're an elevator, you're waiting to get that grain marketed and on to the next spot.
He says that NanoBio Designs has developed a device that can be used on site to speed up the process.
And so we're trying to put a genetic detection device and a cartridge system at every single elevator. And so that they can validate the traits that are moving across their supply chains and market those effectively so that they're validated across the supply chain.
Scar says that their on-site grain DNA detection tests could save the ag industry billions of dollars.
Gosh, a while back, China had rejected a large load of Starlink corn. Well, that can lead to a $2 billion economic loss because that grain is rejected because they didn't accept it. And so where do you send that grain? And so if we can actively track our traits across the supply chain and provide that information, we can reduce risks of cross-contamination of different varieties, as well as make sure they're getting to their intended purposes to provide that value that that farmer grew it for and that elevator is marketing towards that food product.
Read more about the new technology from Indiana-based NanoBio Designs at HoosierAgToday.com.
Attention Indiana farmers, have you heard of the Indiana Agriculture Nutrient Alliance? We're a coalition of ag, conservation, and university partners dedicated to helping improve your profits and preserve nutrients through improved soil management. The Alliance has developed resources to share proven practices that will keep you at the forefront of better nutrient management. Go to inagnutrients.org to see why conserving soil is an idea older than dirt and something we can all dig.
Well, how much did your property tax bill increase this year? It's the top priority for Indiana Ag Policy Groups and the topic on the latest Indiana Ag Policy Podcast. Here's Eric Pfeiffer.
Yeah, CJ, it is. The property tax formula for farmland in Indiana is just not working in farmers' favor right now. That's why we're seeing unbelievably high increases. We've heard as high as 70%. Katrina Hall with Indiana Farm Bureau has been called the property tax guru by many in the Indiana ag community.
So we're asking for some changes to the formula to try to mitigate these increases and get our members some relief. Now, that's one aspect of our property tax system that is really complicated.
And she's not joking. It's really complicated. She goes into the nuts and bolts in the new Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, found now wherever you listen to podcasts. She encourages farmers to get involved in the legislative process now. Call your legislator from the combine.
Or have them out to your farm and, let them ride around. Every legislator wants the picture, right, with a farmer because people like farmers and they want to represent their constituents, too.
She compares the Democrat and Republican gubernatorial plans in the podcast. Check it out now, HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Eric Pfeiffer.
And I'm CJ Miller. Happy Labor Day from all of us here at Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Harvest means early mornings, late nights, and long days in the field. While you're out there each day until the last pass is made and the job is done, know that your friends at Farm Credit Mid-America see your hard work and appreciate all of your long hours. We know that harvest is a busy season for you, but when you need a lender that can rise with you, give us a call at 800-444-FARM. This fall, we rise together. Subject to credit approval. Terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Get ready for the 62nd Annual Farm Science Review, September 17th, 18th, and 19th. It's more than a farm show. Explore over 600 exhibitors providing equipment, services, and education for farms of all types and sizes. Tickets can be purchased at participating OSU Extension offices, agribusinesses, and online. fsr.osu.edu to buy your Farm Science Review tickets now and plan your show visit. The 62nd Farm Science Review. Review September 17, 18, and 19.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, the Labor Day edition. Honestly, we're not looking too shabby for a Labor Day here across the Eastern Corn Belt. High pressure settling in over the Great Lakes region today, and we're going to be putting that together for a good few days. Cool temperatures this morning, lingering through the rest of the day. Low humidity, just downright pleasant. And I think we're looking at this same kind of setup tomorrow. You get into Wednesday, we're going to start to see this high shift a little farther to the east. And that should bring some south flow up the backside of the high, warming us just a little bit. But not uncomfortably so. I think we're going to be quite comfortable through the middle part of this week. And then putting together a little bit warmer air in for the latter stages of the week, particularly Friday into the weekend. Temperatures back to above normal, and we are going to be seeing humidity levels creep up just a little bit. I'm not looking at any significant moisture through at least a Thursday. With the warm air and with the humidity in on Friday, I think we're going to have to keep an eye out for a few hit-and-miss scattered showers, maybe a few thunderstorms. You can argue there's another front that's going to try and move through late Friday afternoon into Friday evening. I won't argue with you on that, but I don't think it's a very strong front in terms of moisture. So if it's moisture that you're after, I think we're going to pencil in anywhere from a quarter to three quarters of an inch with only about 60% coverage for Friday. And behind this little wind shift, we're going to cool down into the weekend again. Quite cool for Saturday and Sunday, the 7th and 8th. Going into next week, we stay cool to start it off Monday and then see temperatures moderate for Tuesday and Wednesday of next week. Not looking at any major weather issues through a large part of next week. So honestly, I'm looking at us staying below normal on precipitation on the whole, right on through the middle of the month of September. We could see our next chance at precipitation developing closer to Thursday the 12th or Friday the 13th, but those rounds of moisture are not all that impressive either. And if I look straight west, I'm seeing a large part of the Great Plains in western U.S. dominated by an upper-level ridge, a heat dome that still is out there. That steers most moisture well away from us. So again, the moisture that we see, fairly limited and definitely widely scattered or widely spread, at least in its timetable. I don't think we see any more than one chance of rain each week, and those chances are not the best. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Enjoy this beautiful Labor Day, though. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Corn, soybeans, and wheat all end the week on another high note. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Ian DeEubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Coming up, settlements. We begin, though, with market analysis. I spoke with Brian Basting in the middle of trade for that. Brian is with Advanced Trading. Brian, in the middle of the Friday session, we're just a little bit higher. Seems like corn, beans, and wheat want to go higher. There are some limiting factors. The dollar index is up, for example. And, of course, there's the prospect of a really good harvest that is still going to hang over the market for some weeks to come.
Well, thanks for having me, as always, Andy. Yeah, I think you summarized it well in those brief comments that we are seeing some rebound in these markets here, a very oversold market, four-year lows that we saw in corn and soybean prices, as your listeners know, earlier this month here in August. Starting to see a little bit of short covering here, a little bit of export interest surfacing here this week. We're selling a little bit more soybeans, selling some corn a little bit for 24, 25. I don't want to overplay that. We're still looking at, for example, a new crop soybean book that's below last year by about a third, at least to China and unknown destinations. That's our biggest market, of course, China slash unknown. But regardless, these low prices have at least perked up the interest of some end users. So I think, as you say, though, I would remind your listeners that harvest is here. The crop is maturing a little faster than normal. I noticed here that was true in Indiana, as well as other areas in the Midwest here. Now, again, we're not going to see every single combine going anytime soon, but certainly as we get into that first full week of September, second full week for sure, I do think that's going to be something that the market's going to be watching. And, of course, as we get into harvest, Andy, what the market's going to be looking at is, are we going to confirm or not confirm those USDA yield estimates from September, from August in that September 12th report?
And if those numbers come in, those yield numbers come in, demand, good demand would certainly help offset any negative impact on the markets. So tell us where we're at from a demand perspective.
It would certainly help to see some end user buying down here. We are seeing more interest surface, as I mentioned a moment ago. On the export side, when you see those daily flashes, we had a real good new crop export sales report on Thursday this week for both corn and beans. So there is some end user interest down here. And it's not just from China, for example. Mexico has been a very strong buyer of U.S. corn for quite some time. China put their toe in the water, as it were, and bought some sorghum this week. But regardless, yes, at these low prices, below $4, in some cases, well below $4 prices for corn, and now, at least on the board, below $10 bean prices, has caught the eye of the end user. And as you say, if these yields are anything close to USDA, we'll need that demand, because that's a record yield penciled in there for corn, record yield nationwide penciled in there for beans USDA had there in August. They're completing their survey this week. I believe it'll be complete around September 5th. And as I mentioned a moment ago, September 12th is the next report. So I think when we get past that September 12th report, to echo your comment, it will become very much a demand-driven market, with the sense being, are these low prices luring the end user back in a big way? This is a big crop. It may or may not be as big as USDA, but we do need to start to chew through this big pile, if you will, of 24 corn and bean bushels.
So let's talk about overhead resistance and support levels, where they are right now for corn and beans.
I think we'll just use round numbers at that $4 level on December. Corn is perking right there today, poking its head right there today. Looking at soybeans, a round number again, $10. It did poke its head above that here briefly. Came back below. That'll be a key area for both crops. Can we sustain strength? Can the market sustain strength above those key levels with some news, fundamental news, whether it is crop not quite up to expectations and or demand news? But those are the numbers I'd remind your listeners of, pretty round numbers. $4 on these corn and $10 November beans.
Economist Brian Basting at Advanced Trading. Brian's number is 309-664-2314. On the Hat Friday Farm Market Review, September corn ended the month at 378, up 6 1/4. A nickel higher on these corn, 401, an important close above that $4 mark. And March corn, 419, also up a nickel. November beans, 7.5 higher, ending right at $10. January 10-17, up 8.25. And December wheat, 551.5, up 2.75. Meats higher too. October live cattle, 178.60, 70 cents higher. A nickel higher on October lean hogs, 82.22. I'm Andy Eubank with the Friday Farm Market Review. Markets are closed on Monday for Labor Day. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.